Holy shit. Holy shit.
So, I don't want to talk about that because of my religion. My parents might hear it. You know?
He has boundaries. What's I so have bad?
Yeah, he shouldn't be a comedian.
He's a pretty good one.
Yeah, yeah. Become like, you know, a mosque guy.
A mosque guy. Yeah,
whatever they do
you
over there.
You know how many opportunities I've had to be a mosque guy, but I've turned them down?
Why don't we, you and I, start a, why don't we start a company where we make those little rugs that they sit on when they pray?
That'd be a killer company.
What do they call those little things?
Flying carpets.
Yeah. Flying carpets. You and I should make LLC. A company called Flying Carpets. Really comfy ones, though. Like, we'll use, like
high end, like it's memory, the Tesla of
memory foam
prayer rugs.
Tesla. What? It's like, yeah, like, yeah.
It's like really high end, like the Bugatti.
Yeah.
Yeah. This goes like zero to heaven in 80 years.
Yeah, yeah. Do you believe in that? Flying rugs?
Flying rugs?
Yeah, or carpets?
Anything I got here, bro.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah.
Alfombra mágica.
All right, well, yeah.
You know, in the Middle East, they have Uber.
Yeah, we're not, we haven't even started. We're not even started. We haven't even started.
I've been trying to twist off.
Yeah. What are you so nervous for?
It's my second pod.
All right. Begin if you may.
Five.
Okay.
Four.
That's right.
Three.
Uh-huh.
Two.
Right.
One.
Bingo. And welcome. Welcome to another podcast episode of TB, the Tiger Belly.
Tuberculosis.
Tuberculoco. We've got all kinds of people in the room right now. We've got the dirtiest of, like, Caucasians. Like, the ugly side. The underbelly of Caucasian.
Mm.
It's the kind where, you know how you have good whites? You know how you have good whites. Schindler was a good white.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. James Vanderbeek.
Vanderbeek is a fucking good white, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
Pure and simple, dude.
Pure and simple. Yeah.
Right. Like, if he died, you could snort his ashes and you'll feel a little spiritual.
Yeah. You'll fly a little
Yeah, you'll fly a little bit. Yeah. So you have the good whites, mm-hmm. and then you got the gray ones.
They're...
Ooh, who's gray? Like,
just there's millions of them out there. Yeah. They just have these jobs, and they go to their post office job. That's great. No, they have lives. They have
Those
great
are
lives.
Filipinos.
Yeah, Filipinos also gray. Have gray lives. A lot of people have gray lives, yeah, right? Yeah. And then you have the whites that are just the bottom. You know what I mean? The ones that you see in the news, you know, shot up a church, you know.
Yeah.
Dylan Roof, you know, that those types. Here. We got one. George Kimmel.
I haven't got caught yet.
I know you haven't, but you're one of those, and I'm on to you, dude. And my eyes are on you. My little squinty eyes. Okay? Let me say something right now, and I know you judge me because of my little squinty eyes. I can see perfectly with these. All right? I have great periphery. Okay? Long view, short view, the whole thing. All right? I'm on to you, dude.
He's actually fucking blind, you guys.
I'm blind as
fuck. There was a coyote standing right in front of us.
Yeah.
And I was like, look, a coyote. And he looked right at it. He's like, where?
Yeah, it was
he
right in front of
me. He couldn't see a fucking giant wild animal before his very eyes.
But I can see you, though. That's all he needed now. And then we got your better one right here. He's much better than you. He is, if you were an android, you would be the first model. He's eighth model.
Oh damn!
This is like this is 500 years later.
That's Fassbender.
The company got it down.
Fassbender.
Yeah, Fassbender. They cut it down. Fuck you, George. I love you though.
Love you too.
And that's the thing. I love. You know what? You know what, dude? It's like in AI. I like that little. What was it? That little guy.
An AI.
Yeah, the little AI guy. Yeah.
I like the little guy.
I like the little guy, man. That was a weird movie. No, what was the other robot movie? Robin Williams.
Haley Joel Osment?
No, there was another one where he was a robot.
He becomes old and becomes a human.
Yes,
what's
that
robot?
AI. No,
that's
not AI. That's not AI.
That's AI. No, AI is Haley Joel Osment.
Is not the same.
No, there's another robot. Anyway, I love Android.
I need
movies.
To know. I absolutely need to know this.
Androids with a heart is what I like to call it.
Bicentennial Man.
Bicentennial Man.
That's a good movie, you know? And just a little drink, a little of my Coke pumpkin spice because it's the holidays. We have a guest, I know, and he's looking at me right now like, when am I going to get introduced?
No,
don't talk until I fucking introduce you, dude. And everyone knows the rules. And, dude, this is your second time.
Why I was quiet for so long. I was quiet because attacked me the first time, and I was like, I didn't want to say anything.
Now we have to start over.
God damn it.
We have to do the whole white bit again. the whole
Fahim, haven't you been so here
many
before?
So many people I've in the room. We got these ugly fucking bottom dwelling. We have a guest, and the reason why he's on again is because he has something very big to announce, and he's also a friend. He was my opening act for a couple of years. Very strong comic. I think he was on the other night, although you were trying new stuff, I felt like, were
yeah.
you?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And Kirk and I were watching you, Fox. And Kirk goes, why isn't this guy the biggest thing? And I go, shut the fuck up. I looked at Kirk Fox and go, you shut your fucking skinny ass fucking off. Okay? I know he should be bigger, but shut the fuck up. Mm. His name, now, and I know a lot of you MAGAs out there listening. Okay. No, I'm being real, dude. It's an election. It's, you
yeah,
know,
you draw a lot of MAGA
dude.
Fans.
Yeah.
I have some.
Really? Huh.
Yeah. We have some.
True.
We do.
Yeah. True. So I'm telling them.
Thanks for sticking around, guys. Yeah.
A lot of them.
He's not one of those. Okay? That's just for the five guys. He's a good dude. He really is. You're pure at heart. And I love your family. I've met your brother. He's a dentist. Yeah. I've met all those other Punjabs around them.
Said it the first time, too.
Whatever those, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah. All that, you know? Yeah,
same ballpark.
But yeah, I love them all. I really do. When we used to go to Seattle, they used to come. I haven't said your name, but anyway, they used to come out to the shows, and I used to hug them. I love them. They're good people.
Thanks, man.
Don't you think?
Yeah, I love.
Do they like
family.
Me?
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
as well.
Yeah,
as well do I.
Oh, that's nice.
He has a Comedy Central sketch show coming out. Mm-hmm. It's called Goat Face.
Goat Face, yeah.
It's with you, Aristotle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What's the other guy from The Daily Show?
Hassan Minhaj. He has Patriot Act on Netflix now, too.
Mm-hmm. Whatever.
I love his show on Netflix. Hassan Minhaj. It's a great show.
Hassan Minhaj.
Hassan Minhaj.
Say Hassan.
And then Asif. Asif Ali.
Hassan. And then Asif. And they're doing a Middle Eastern, right? I mean, Persian.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? American.
Well, yeah, I mean,
it's very American. If you guys are Americans and you have an American voice, but it's a bunch of
sure.
Persian Americans,
like first generation, I think.
Yeah, Middle Eastern Americans,
Middle Eastern South
doing
Asian
a
American.
Sketch show on Comedy Central, and I have to say, you showed me two or three sketches, and I cackled like a little schoolgirl.
Thanks, man. That was so cool because I haven't shown anybody.
I laughed so hard. And let me say something. You can doubt me, Bryce. You can doubt me, George. And you guys can point your fingers and go, what have I done? I was on a sketch show for 8 years. All right? I've seen some sketches myself. Okay? I know some SNL people. Thank you very much. Muchos grandes, amigo.
Muchos grandes.
All right? Por favor? So I've been in the rodeo. I've saddled up. And I've done my lassos. Okay? And I'm telling you right now, this sketch show that he did is ooey mooey comprehende, man.
Have you been playing Red Dead Redemption? Or is this just natural to you?
I have been.
Okay.
Yeah. I've been playing too much Red Dead. But yeah.
Goatface. When does it come out?
Let me say something. It's so fucking funny.
Really. Thanks, funny, man.
Yeah
because like I had been working on it for so long, and I'm too close to it, so it's like I've seen the sketches a million times, and like I wrote a lot of them a long time ago, so it was nice. It was just burning a hole in my pocket, just like, oh, let me get a fresh set of eyes. Or, you know, I know Bobby, I trust Bobby. We were in your car. I was like, can I show you like two or three of them, and I chose like my favorites. They're quick, just very, and it was so great watching. Like, I loved watching you watch them. I've seen the sketches a million times, so I was just like watching you watch them.
Yeah.
And it just felt so good. Because it was like watching it for the first time again. Like, oh, okay. If Bobby's genuinely enjoying it.
What happens when they pick up 13 episodes? You got it?
Yeah.
You have a staff?
Nah, man. Dude, the way it... Here's how it works, man.
Like, all right.
I'm a sketch guy. Like, stand-up and sketch is what I do. It's what I was born to do. That's what comes naturally.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know... You'll take these general meetings and stuff, and they're like, do you have any screenplays or like sitcoms?
Yeah.
and I have like ideas, but like that doesn't just come to me. I don't like get inspiration and I go to a log cabin and like bang out Stranger Things or something. Have that in me. I have log
like
lines.
Cabin in the Woods was done by that guy that directed The Avengers. What's his name?
Oh, Joss Whedon.
Yeah, Joss Whedon.
Yeah, some of those guys are just,
and they would spend a weekend in a hotel, him and his writer, and they just, it was a 2-floor thing, and they just yelled out, what about this? Yeah. And they both banged out the script.
Yeah. Or like Sorkin just has that in his brain. I'm not that guy. And instead of trying to bang my head against a wall and like try to be this thing that I'm not, I've just always been a strong proponent of leaning into your core competencies. So that's why I've just always been hitting stand-up and sketch. Like that just flows through me.
Yeah.
So stand-up, I've been doing forever. You know, I mean, I do it every night and like I've been doing it 16 years. And then sketch is just something...
It's been that long you've been doing stand up?
Yeah, man. Wow, that's the trouble. That's the trouble with starting so young. Everyone just thinks that you're like 6 years in for the
whole
life. How long
have I known you?
16 years.
Quite a while.
Like how long?
2000.
Yeah, right. Because when I asked you to do a sketch on Mad TV, you said no to me.
Yeah, you brought this up. You brought this up on the last.
I know. I'm just thinking to myself. So when was I on Mad TV?
Let's recap.
A long time ago.
Yeah.
So I have known you for a very long time.
Super long time.
No, I remember the you first said time no to
you.
Me.
Yeah, that was the first time we met.
You said no to me.
Yeah, you were on the steps in the belly room smoking.
Yeah.
D'Elia's like, hey, this is my friend Fahim. He's a funny guy. This is Bobby Lee.
Wow, D'Elia introduced you to me.
Uh-huh. And then he goes, oh, where are you from? Where are your parents from? Afghanistan. He's like, you want to do the sketch where you'd be on Mad TV? And I go, what's the sketch? And you go, I open up the closet and then, I say, you're shirtless in a turban, like in your underwear and you're sharpening a sword.
Good pitch.
I would love to read the rest of the sketch. Like that's the only
It was
pitch.
Just basically, it was Dave pitch. Navarro, right? Uh-huh. Dave Navarro, I was doing a tour of this place.
Uh-huh. Oh,
it was this house or this condo.
Yeah.
And I just open up, you know what I mean? Open up and just sitting
it's just
there.
Random
it's
spot.
A random little uh-huh. thing, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I
thought yeah,
it, was
yeah,
a,
yeah.
it was a sight gag. It wasn't.
For sure.
You know what I mean? And it wasn't demeaning, I didn't think, but Sandy Danto did it. It's fine. Right. Fat Sandy got him in a little
this
turban.
This is before people were woke and weren't like, that's not a Middle Eastern guy.
Yeah.
That's a Jewish guy.
No, it wasn't even. I didn't even say. You could have even said, if I wasn't wearing a turban and I was wearing some sort of clothing, I would have been like, oh, yeah, all right. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're cooking something. I don't know.
I wasn't trying to workshop it with you. It just seemed like
I'm just saying it hurt me.
I appreciated it.
And I also bring it up every time I see you.
I really respect
but that's,
you for that.
You always say that's why you respected me, because I turned
that's exactly
down.
Why I respected you. I go, who the fuck is this kid?
Because that's not what
kid?
I was trying to do at the time.
I know.
And
I
now
know. That's all I'm trying to do.
Yeah.
I mean, I did see a sketch where you were wearing a fucking turban.
Hey, don't give it away. But
I know, I'm just
but
saying.
But here's the thing, though. Like, that type of shit, I feel okay with it if I write it. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's weird, but I just know where it's coming from when I write the thing. And I feel like it's empowering if I put myself in a turban for a thing that I've written, because I know I'm trying to turn something on its head, as opposed to like another race writing.
No, totally.
It's
just, you're right. You're absolutely correct, friend.
Yeah.
That's why I'm just giving you shit, friend.
Okay, that's okay.
Right? No, I really respect you for doing that.
Thanks, man.
And I just had this feeling by looking at you, and
oh my God, he's Android.
He's malfunctioning.
He's
just smashing all the microphones.
I don't want to get emotional, but I'm not gonna, okay? Is that... God, how do I say it without... just give me a second. It's my podcast, okay? So just let me... It's just that you hear this nonsense from politicians to scare middle of America about like Muslims or Mexicans and all that, you know, and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
They're coming in and literally when I run into you or Maz or any of those guys, Amir K, right? He's one.
Yeah.
Right?
He's one.
Or just any of you guys, I literally do not think of race or what your religious background is. Sure. You guys are just friends of mine. Like when Amir K, when he was on the new Mad TV, he would pull me aside and tell me how he felt about being nervous and, you know, I don't think the writers like, and we could just sit there and connect and I can talk him through, you know, because it's the same thing that I felt. And when I look at you, I'm just so happy for you. You're just a great really great guy. You really are. There's not a single person, right? What are you laughing at, babe?
Is it, like the way you're presenting it is as if, you know, when Trump said, my African-American friend.
That's not what I'm doing.
I know. No.
I'm doing the opposite of what I'm about. Because when Trump did that, he didn't know that guy. And he doesn't really have any African-American friends.
I know, but just it sounds like that. Like just you guys. One of you, you know?
No, all right. Forget you. Right? Forget that. What's so funny, Gil?
Do you understand what I'm saying?
All right. You know what? Let me rephrase it then. Can I rephrase it?
Yeah.
You're just a great guy.
Hey, thanks.
Yeah, you really are. And
I feel like I'm dying. You guys are so nice to me.
And it's I've never been anywhere where they go, fuck that guy, Fahim Anwar.
Well, that's nice. But you know, also one thing I've noticed too about like being beloved or like liked by everybody, that means like you're due, way overdue. You know what I mean? Like when you get things early, people will hate you.
Mm. Yeah.
If you get things on time, still some people will hate you. But if you've just been, because I just feel like I'm one of those guys who's like slipped through the cracks for a super long time.
You're due.
Well, that's nice. Thanks. Yeah.
No, but, you are.
Yeah. Okay.
You're 100% due.
But no one looks at the success now, you know, with the show and all that, and is like, fuck Fahim.
I've just
been around so long, and I've been like.
No, I think people.
People
are thinking,
store.
"Oh fuck, thank God."
Yeah.
And there's certain guys. You know, I mean, you can say all you want about Rick Ingram.
Uh-huh.
I think he's very funny.
Yeah.
I think he deserves.
Yeah.
I think he deserves something. You know, big. Not that I'm not comparing you to him. But
it's
there
one of
is
those things of there's when you're a comic and you're in the streets, you kind of know who's. I think we have our pulse more on what's going on day to day, just comedy wise with stand-ups. And it just takes so much to bridge that gap to the suits and the button pushers who actually are these gatekeepers.
Yeah.
Let me say something.
Isn't it frustrating how few people are actually in the streets?
Right.
It's not only frustrating, and what people don't understand is what you see in specials or who gets shit isn't the best people.
It's what you've been fed. Sometimes it's great and it lines up.
Yeah. Once in a blue moon.
Sure, yeah.
But those ones still are ones that deserved it. Like, example, Louis C.K. before, you know, mm-hmm. the controversy. When he got his due, the IFC show and all the things that he was getting, directing movies and all the deals and all that, no one was ever going, you know.
Why him?
Why him?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You knew why, mm-hmm. right? It's a given, right? But then you see, you know, that one lady from, I don't want to make fun of her because I'm not, but she's from Australia.
Hannah Gadsby?
Yeah, her.
The Nanette mm-hmm. thing?
Nanette.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
That whole, you know. And
I think that the confusion with that is just that some people didn't, you know, it was labeled as stand-up comedy, and her whole thing kind of felt more like a one-woman act, and I think that's where people were.
Stand-up purists are like, this isn't stand-up.
Right, it isn't. You're right.
It's like
stand-up purists
adjacent, and I think the stand-up purists are frustrated that it's occupying the same space
as
stand-up, and it's in the same discussion as stand-up.
But it was
she's good. Yeah, I know.
Maybe
I know.
Not in the same realm, though.
You know who else is good? Kira Stefanovic.
Oh, she's funny.
All right, and no one's giving Kira anything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. I mean, you can push this handy lady because of her ideology and what she represents, and I want that.
But also, it's the coasts. You know what I mean? Like anyone in the middle of the country, you go, "Have you seen Nanette?" They're like, "What the fuck is Nanette? What you call me?"
Yeah. And I have no offense to her. I don't know her. She's probably a nice lady.
Sometimes the coasts like to believe something is way bigger than it really is. So you're in this bubble, and we like to believe that Nanette is this fucking worldwide smash.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it is with the HuffPo and whatever Twitter echo
HuffPo.
Chamber you're in.
Yeah.
And it's like good for her and good for that lane and everything, but sometimes we make it this bigger thing than it really is.
I mean, this is how crazy this disconnect is. I auditioned for a Baby Driver, one of those movies.
That's awesome.
But I obviously didn't get it. But it was terrible anyway. But but I remember the casting director looking at my resume and going, "Oh, you've actually done something." Like she had no idea who I was.
Uh-huh.
Which which humbles you. You go, you know, you spend 20 plus years, you know, in LA grinding it out.
And still
right?
people don't know who you
and
are.
And no one knows who you are.
Yeah.
Right. And so the people at on the top, like even like the on the show that I'm on now, the network people, a lot of them, they're just new relationships. They don't know who I am. They think I'm a new face.
Yeah. Do you know how long you have to do stand up before? Like, there are times, like, I've been doing it for a long time, as I told you, where people will think, hey, this new kid, or he's found out about this comedian, like, especially in stand up.
Yeah.
You have to do it forever to be considered a new kid.
Yeah.
You have to be, you have to be like a middle aged man to be considered a young whippersnapper in stand up.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there are people that have been doing open mics since the 80s, still doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Still grinding it out. I mean, most of them are crazy,
yeah.
Right? They're a little delusional where they don't really have it. But it's very difficult.
I love Mitch Hedberg's joke where he goes, stand-up is part of my get-rich-slow plan.
yeah, right. It takes a long time.
Yeah.
It, especially in the club scene in LA, it's not, you have to just not only weather the open mics, right? But then you have to like convince the booker, right? And then you have to compete for like 15 spots a night. Like, especially at the Comedy Store, it's impossible.
Oh, yeah.
Imagine being a great comic, but coming to LA and for going, sure. Oh, that's a club
it's
I'm not going to play.
It's just so oversaturated. Even if you're a funny person, it's just oversaturated.
So oversaturated.
You just have to like keep on chipping and chipping away.
Yeah.
I was thinking about the other day. Isn't it nice that you're at a point in your career where you can just be, you know? Because like, I was thinking about my early years of stand-up, and you're just trying to convince the world that you're as funny as you think you are, and no one's giving you the time of day. You're like a ghost at these clubs. People are walking through you, you know? Like, you just, you're like, oh, I want to do this show, and the stakes are so high for things that are so small. Like, oh, this bar show, how do I get on it? Or the booker doesn't think I'm funny, or he got on it, and you're like, everything's a threat to you.
I did an open mic in Century City, and there was a raffle. It was an open mic. Mm-hmm. I got last, right? So I had to wait till like 1 a.m. And then when it was my turn, there was no one in the audience, but there wasn't any instance in the beginning, right? The guy goes, hey, you're not going to go up. I'm tired. I go, I know, but there's only one more. Yeah, I'm just tired. No one's here. But everyone else got to go up when there's no one, right? And then you drive home with such rage. Like, it's, no, I'm telling you something right now. I'm going to lean forward a little bit for this. I've never felt... I'm fine. If you hit my car, right? You scrape it with a key, right? You pee on my foot. I'm just gonna give you examples of the level of anger. I'll be like, "What the fuck? Don't do that!" Right? If you, if Bryce was found out he was sexually assaulted, raped in the butt.
Oh no!
He found out, or you found out?
He found out he did it.
He found out he assaulted someone. No, he found out that
he got it done to him.
I mean, was he unconscious?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Don't drink too much, Bryce.
Because I would think you would know if it was happening.
And I heard that I would get angry. But there's nothing that angers me more, right, than being slighted out of a spot, right? Or when I hear, you're like, hey, so and so bad mouthed you in front of this booker.
Oh,
right.
Fuck.
And
yeah,
then just the rage. You know, because when it comes to just my dream, which is stand up, if you get in the way of that, it puts me in a rage, dude. Yeah, I hold it for years in my heart.
Because that's your livelihood.
That's right. Now back to the show.
Yeah, I mean, George, you do open mics, right?
Yeah.
I can't imagine what you go through.
Well, it's
easy. You know what that means then?
That
means that you're not really serious.
Yeah, probably.
That's what it means. Yeah. It means that
you
your heart
have
is
rage
into it because you need to have the rage. And you know what's another
I don't know if it's rage. It could be frustration or just pining.
Rage. Yeah, depends. Well, mine's rage.
Okay.
Here's another thing. When you're like at a book show or whatever, this is early on, and there's a crowd, and the guy before you is not that good. You know you could crush it. But he's so bad, he's walking the room. And then you don't get to fucking perform in front of them.
Yeah, I don't like when they have a meltdown and then they just start going in on the audience like, but you don't fucking, you don't get it?
Yeah.
Oh, is it too edgy for you? Like, when the jokes aren't good, but they think they're Bill Hicks.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm just fucking above your level.
Yeah.
You morons don't get it.
I've said this before, but I hate, this is what I hate, what women do sometimes, like young girls.
Uh-huh.
They'll tell the booker, play this song when they introduce me.
If your whole set hinges on a song.
Right. So no, but then they do a funny dance.
Uh-huh.
So they'll go up and do a funny dance and get the crowd, you know what I mean, going, because they have this funny dance. And then when it's time to do stand-up, they can't tell their jokes because they're so out of breath.
Yeah.
And I've seen that.
I've seen that too.
So many times.
You guys ever... no, that's my dad. Play the song again. Play the song again. You know what I wanted to do one time? Like, you know how they do... the Black Show at the Comedy Store on Tuesdays, I think.
Whoa, man.
Hey, that's what it is.
Yeah.
Hey now, whoa. It's not tripping on. I don't know. I forget. Maybe it's Mello's show.
Yeah.
But they have a DJ. There's always a DJ back there.
Yeah.
Like, I want to do a guest set sometime and like they play a song for me. And then I just come out and I'm dancing to some like Drake song or whatever.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, woo, because like a lot of them will dance. And then it's just going on for too long, you know? Like, I'm just like up there dancing for the whole song for like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And then I just leave. I don't do any jokes.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah. Then everyone's into it. And then I just get off the stage and I walk through the crowd and I go into the OR and do a set there. I was just there for a dance pit stop.
Do you do good in front of those rooms?
Black shows?
Yeah.
I have.
Yeah.
But here's what I don't like doing one demo for any stand-up show. Like, I hate doing an alt show. I hate doing an all-Mexican show. I hate doing an all-Afghan or, like, Middle Eastern show, because the people in the audience, they're on one wavelength. When you assemble a very particular group of people, they respond and resonate. They just want one thing.
Yeah.
Mm. And if you're not that...
Yeah.
It like fries their brain, or it just takes a long time for them to get on your level.
Mm. Yeah.
And so if you do a black show and there's like four black comedians before you, there's a certain style and rhythm
and
confidence and attitude that they're accustomed to. And then Fahim Anwar, I'm like, hey guys,
do you ever try to just kind of ham it up a little bit and sound?
I just don't.
I've done that before. Where I'm like, what's that? You know what I mean? Like, and it's so.
Y'all listen to Drake. Just sort of like trying to get on their level.
It's so not fucking organic.
So yo, cringy.
Yeah.
Y'all
heard that
and
song?
I'll grab my dick and walk around. I'll do a moonwalk.
Why is he doing moonwalks? He's had this bit how, like, you know, doing black shows, they're always like so supreme. Like, every comic is like very confident.
Yeah.
You know, just like prowling the stage like a tiger and just so much confidence. And I wanted to, there's no self-deprecating black comic, you know, or that type of style. I wanted to be a confident, self-deprecating black comic. Like,
yeah.
I'm like, y'all never knows how old your parents are and you're way older than that and that scares the shit out of you. Because you ain't married yet. You know, like,
yeah.
I'm 35 years old. I should have some equity by now. I don't own a home. You know, just like really sad stuff.
Yeah. I did Jade's Brazilian show.
Whoa. How was that?
I was eating it, but then I just didn't know what to do. So I just started yelling out Brazilian things that I do. Right.
Did they like it?
That's the only thing that got laughs, really.
Damn. Did your R's become like a
Ronaldinho?
It's just such an uphill battle.
Rafael dos Santos.
I just want to
be. Rafael, baby. Rafael.
Yeah, but I said it that way and it got a laugh.
I just want to be myself. And I just want to like throw some ideas out there.
Yeah.
I hate having to do tricks to be accepted, you know? And that's what a lot of those shows are.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, how do I figure out this scheme? And if you're not getting paid, like, what's the point? But I was talking about melting down earlier. My brother, I just had this thought, like, my brother got me one of the best gigs I've gotten so far. Like, it was like $4,000 to do some corporate gig for Toyota back in Seattle.
Because
he's a dentist and he's on the links. And like, he'll hobnob with, you know, some guy owns like a bunch of Toyota dealerships or whatever. And he's like, oh, yeah, my brother, because they're looking for entertainment for their Christmas party. This is like a year ago or two years ago. Yeah. And then, you know, they're like, my brother's like, oh, yeah, my brother does stand-up. He could probably do it. He's like, oh, he's like, yeah, he's in movies and stuff. And you can look at his IMDb. And
yeah.
And he really, like, he talked the talk. He, like, built me up. Yeah. And
but, I mean, you.
I've done some stuff.
Yeah.
And I guess
no one
somebody,
could look at your IMDb
and
go.
And somebody who's not in Hollywood or whatever, it seems like a get or something. So my brother, he worked out this thing where it's a lot of money. And I'm doing 30 minutes. At this Toyota Christmas event thing.
Yeah.
So I'm like, dope. This is like better than anything my agents have gotten me at the time, you know?
Yeah, right.
So, and it's for 30 minutes, not an hour, which is normally what these like college gigs will be. So I go to the event And sometimes the thing is just not, they're not set up for stand up.
Yeah.
Sometimes you'll get these people who just like, they like comedy and they think they could throw it on, but they don't understand how many things need to go, like the lighting, the sound system,
the
seating, the stage,
the separation between the stage and the seating.
It doesn't take a lot, but there's a checklist for a show to go well. And the average person doesn't know what that checklist is.
Right.
They just like, I would like to have comedy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You do comedy? Come. And then like, that's as far as they go.
Was yours ground level?
No, it was like elevated. Okay, good. It was elevated a little bit. Sound system was kind of like, whatever. There was round tables, which is not good. And they're getting food and shit. Yeah. And so I'm just doing my stand up and they're talking because they want to mingle and stuff.
Oh man.
Because it's a corporate thing. Dude, because the money, $4,000.
Right.
It's
yeah,
like
but,
that
yeah, but
country
listen,
club gig
listen,
you did.
So like, I'm up
happy
there.
Happy birthday to you.
We'll finish it.
Happy birthday.
The timing, wow.
Good job, Jules. Happy
sorry,
birthday,
birthday.
Wow,
dear
Kalilah.
Happy birthday
to you. 27 from Fahim.
Oh, yeah. 27
oh,
years
yeah,
old.
Dog.
Yeah.
Thanks for buying
where
the donuts,
Where are these donuts
Fahim?
From?
Blue Star.
Blue Star?
Yeah, very fancy donuts.
You got them?
Yeah, we got them. Yeah.
Where's the Blue Star? Where's the Blue Star at?
There's
one in L.A.?
Yeah.
Because there's one. There's a bunch
Portland.
In Portland. Yeah.
27.
Can I have one?
Yeah, Fahim, please have one.
Oh, I'm okay. Thank you, though.
You don't eat donuts?
No, I do. I'm full, though.
What kind is this?
I don't know.
Thanks, Jules.
Next time, work on your timing, Jules. Not in the middle of a fucking story.
There's two spicy ones, and then there's a lot of other stuff.
But. I'll just try this dark one.
Cool. But I want to hear the rest of the story.
Yeah,
it sounds like your nightmare.
Well,
all right,
so let me. So okay, now let me try to regroup here.
I'm not in the mood anymore. What else? What else is going on?
First place is new comedy.
Anyway, I forgot what happened in that story.
Okay, so it's Toyota dealership,
Toyota deal,
right?
Christmas
it's
party.
$4,000.
$4,000.
People are talking in the audience.
People, yeah, round tables. People want to mingle. They're getting food and shit.
Yeah.
I'm up there.
Right. Is your brother there?
No. First, this is funny. Like, my brother wanted to go, but the guy just power moved him. He was like, I don't know if there's enough spots or whatever.
Oh. You know?
Oh. So what? I mean, my brother didn't care that much to like push the issue. So he wasn't there. I'm up there doing my thing, and I'm just talking over like white noise.
Right.
And I'm just smiling, eating shit, just like doing my comedy to a wall. Because I've been doing it long enough where I'm like, just smile and get your check.
Are you doing bits or are you just
I'm doing my
audience?
Bits. I'm doing like, if anyone's tuning in, they're getting a show.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to pull them by the collar. And I realized, and that's just being a pro and being a veteran, keeping your calm in that situation, because if you have a meltdown in that scenario, you don't get your money. If you're like, shut the fuck up, you don't listen to me.
Yeah.
Getting food fucking
yeah.
You don't know how to act at a comedy show.
Yeah.
Fucking beat, look at this fat piece of shit.
Yeah.
I'm giving you gold and nobody goes, why the fuck am I here?
Yeah.
If you have a meltdown and then afterwards the guy can just be like,
yeah,
kind of had a meltdown up there. I can't give you your money. People are angry that you snapped. And,
yeah.
So as long as you're just like doing your jokes into a wall, afterwards you're like, well, thanks for the gig. So I still loved it. It was 30 minutes for great money.
Yeah.
You do a lot of like music festivals.
Not a lot. No,
well,
I've done like
see,
one or two. But, no.
Okay. Well, is it the same as like, do they set you up for success at those things? Because I feel like those setups are always like out in the open, right?
Some are and some aren't. Like, I've heard Bonnaroo does it pretty well because they'll do it in these tents and they're like good tents.
And people are there for
people
comedy.
Are there and it's set up. There's like a good system and all that. But then I have some friends who have done the Vans Warped Tour and they said it was terrible because you're right next to music. So there's all this music bleeding into the tent.
Oh.
And people are only in there to get out of the sun. So no one really wants to be there. It's just a biological response.
Yeah.
Like, they're just trying to cool down.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Hit me in the head, bro.
Sorry.
But I've done Bumbershoot and they do it pretty well.
That's a good festival in Seattle.
I did a tamale festival with Carlos Mencia once.
How was that?
What?
It was strictly a tamale festival?
It was a tamale festival in outside of Houston. And he goes, they speak English. That was my first question. Do they speak English? And I'm eating it.
Tamales or fig?
Yeah, the tamales. I killed the tamales. And I got so angry because when I got off stage,
yeah,
Carlos did his whole set in Spanish.
Oh,
he fucked you.
He fucked me.
Oh my god.
I mean, what were you gonna do? Were you gonna be like, Tank, load me up some Spanish?
Oh, like the Matrix. Yeah.
Tank.
I forgot his name. That was his name. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Load me up some Spanish. Yeah,
you gotta do the eyes.
Yeah.
Me llamo Bobby. Yeah.
But no, it was because the thing is, I didn't have to do it because we were doing like an improv, and that was just like a side thing that he was doing. So I could have just said, well, he could have just said, "Listen, I'm just gonna do it in Spanish."
Yeah.
But he wanted me to just go up there and eat it. Yeah. And I ate it hard, man. Just silence. You know what I mean? Yeah, man. Gigs, those kind of. But the money is so good, and sometimes you can't say no.
Yeah, that was just one of those. I wasn't mad at the end. I was like, great. I just look at my bank account. I go, this is awesome.
Yeah, he did something similar where we drove up to Bakersfield for someone's birthday party.
Yeah.
And no one was there for comedy, so everyone, like you said, just were around round tables mingling.
No.
There's no stage.
It's a dance floor.
Yeah.
people form a circle like you're like it's. Solid gold, and you're about to do a dance. Uh-huh. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I have a mic, and I made him go up.
He makes me open for him. I just started doing stand up.
Yeah.
To get people that were drinking and dancing to circle around me and to hear me do stand up for 15 minutes.
So he had to like wrangle these people, like, come here, like, just, you know, bribe them.
See, that's
just form a circle.
That's what I'm saying. What I love about just average people trying to put on a comedy show because they don't know what is necessary. Uh-huh. And only stand up is like that. Like, nobody goes up to LeBron and they're like, LeBron, I'm doing a party, I was wondering if you could do some basketball at this party.
Yeah.
And then LeBron gets there and he's like, where's the basket? He's like, oh, I just thought you could just use this cardboard box, maybe, or oh, you need a basketball? You could use this rock.
Yeah.
That's what you could go the other way where the corporate gig that you and Jeremiah did.
Yeah.
Where they were so hyper focused, but they were hyper focused because they knew Bobby was coming. So anyone else that came before him, they just.
It was like a virus. They were trying to
get
out of the body. I made Jeremiah go up, and the funniest thing I've ever seen in my fucking life happened.
Oh, what?
Just, he's on stage eating it. And I saw a white man in a suit stand up and go, "Get the fuck off stage, you fatty!"
In the middle of the set?
Yeah.
What?
Wow.
He went, like, it was almost as if, like, you know, he was protesting, like, some sort of genocide or...
Why that level of anger?
I don't know. Jeremiah, at that point when he was screaming, was doing a thing where he's on his back, like, wrestling a stool.
Uh-huh.
Right? Well, he's not just standing there. He's, like, in the middle of, like, a mug, right? He's mugging a bit out, right? An act out.
Yeah.
And this guy just stood up, and I was laughing so hard in the back.
That's the beauty of being a stand-up, is you can appreciate these moments where everyone else would cringe. We live for it.
Because
it's our friends.
I love when my friends bomb. There's nothing better. It makes me laugh so hard.
Yeah, sometimes I'll tell you like horrible like audition stories or whatever, and you're like, I love it. Tell me more. I love it.
Because
you have so many of yourself.
I have so many,
And it just makes you feel not alone out there because everyone has them.
Or, you know, you hear stories from the old school guys, and there was a comic named Joey Gaynor, and his closer was he put two tennis balls in his mouth because he had big cheeks, right? So they put he would close with two tennis balls in his mouth, in his cheeks, right? But a bunch of comics like put it in their ass. Yeah, the tennis balls. Yeah, they spit on it. You know, pissed on them. Put cum on it. You know what I mean? And so when Joey Gaynor's up there with the tennis balls in his mouth, like the three comics that were there just on the ground crying. You know, I just love stuff like that too. Like inside, you know.
Sabotage.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Sabotage.
Yeah. .com/TigerBelly. That's 23andMe.com/TigerBelly. Know your stuff.
Do.
Oh, we love knowing our DNA.
We love it.
And where we come from.
Yeah. And also these donuts. That first one I ate.
Mm-hmm. Spicy?
Was like I ate a jalapeno in there or something.
Oh my God.
Didn't like it.
I want to try it.
But
there's two spicy ones.
But Kalila's birthday, she's 34 years old. Mm-hmm. And what a blessing.
What a blessing. My life is a
blessing. Yeah, what a blessing your life is.
Hiccuping.
I've known her since she was 27, 28?
Mm-hmm,
27. Mm-hmm, 27. And,
It was nice and tight. My neck skin was firmer.
No, but you know what? You know what's so funny? You grew up with your face.
Well, I grew up with my face.
No, I grew up looking at your face in the last 5 years.
Morph?
Not morph. I just... No, your face never changes to me.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
You know, it's like, there's my Kalila.
Thanks,
sir. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Sweet. It's like, you don't... No matter... I mean, I guess if I compared photos... And I was like analytical about it. And, oh, yeah, there is differences.
Yeah, you have a good jeweler's loop.
Yeah.
Yes, right here.
Yeah, she looks more like Michael Chiklis uh-huh. now. You know what
I mean? Yeah, love you on the shield, babe.
Yeah. But no, you look at, you know, the one that you love and you go, that's what she looks like. You know?
Thank you.
Yeah.
That should be a card.
That's what she looks like.
That's what she looks like. I love you.
That's what she looks like.
When I see people, like, even people I've known for a while, like Chris D'Elia, for instance, mm-hmm. you do, with him, there is a little bit, oh, you're older. There's just something about his face. You know, there's more veins that pop out of his eyes, you know? He has more, like, he does. You know, those fucking veins, they're so scary. Sure, that he has. When he gets angry, those veins pop out of his eyes.
Angelina Jolie has the same one. It goes right across her forehead and into her eye.
It's a vein.
Big one, massive, yeah.
Yeah. And then when I see someone like Argus Hamilton,
mm-hmm.
wow. I mean, he can bleach the hair and get the tan and put the teeth in and the whole thing. But if you look close... I think he's dying.
Hey, we all are. I love how this turned into building Kalila up and then just
destroying everyone
else we know.
It's usually the opposite, I'm gonna take it.
It's the only way we know how to compliment.
Yeah. Yeah.
We can't just say nice things for this. Yeah, we can't say the nice thing for the nice thing.
That's
it's gotta
right.
be a yin and yang.
It has to be. Someone's gotta go down.
Someone's gotta pay.
Yeah, but she went to the desert with the dogs.
Do you ever go out to the desert?
Went once for the photo shoot for the 1 hour special. We did a photo shoot out there, like in around Joshua.
Feel at home when you're out there?
Yeah, for some reason. Because we're desert people.
I mean, can I just say this? I just, you know, excuse me for being ignorant, right? But I was born and raised in America. I'm an American as well as you are.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah.
But does my body know if I'm in Korea? Does my body go, oh, yeah.
Like it's some Wakanda thing.
Like it's some sort of like historical, like a genetic thing that I'm from there. Does my body recognize that?
I think that sometimes it does. And this happened to me. My body loves humidity because I was born and raised in the Philippines. So when I came to California and you don't have the same humidity, I break out in like full eczema. But you see, when I go back to the Philippines or give me any humidity, I am so pretty. Uh-huh. Over here, I'm dry and crusty and ugly.
But if you were born here, would you have the same effect, do you think, or no?
I think that's just a byproduct of being there. I don't know if it's intrinsic in your upbringing.
Some people are disasters in
humid weather.
Because
some people who have eczema and psoriasis, they go to Florida when they retire because it's better for their skin.
Yeah, but there's a lot of people who really, really crumble with humidity. I know, like, I don't mind being sticky or when it's very hot. Some people's like just a little bit of heat and they don't.
It's too much.
It's too much. Instead of getting like.
Shower every 3 hours.
They don't thrive in that. Climate. I do. I love humidity. I love heat.
Yeah.
I can't ask him. I think the first time we ever went to Vancouver, it snowed there.
She'd never seen snow before.
Really?
And I think I cried because my body just, my bones couldn't handle the cold.
She'd never seen snow before.
Whoa.
I had crazy? Seen snow on like TV.
But, yeah, I know. No shit.
She's not like, what is this white stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I had like, you know.
But being in the snow did that. What was that? It was weird, right?
Yeah, it was magical, but my body did not do well at all. It was full shutdown mode. I remember like buying 3 hot dogs from a cart and then staying in all day and just eating hot dogs.
Yeah,
I
remember
that.
That was fun.
I can't be around that white stuff.
That was fun. That was fun.
Sorry, I need to get off the mic.
Yeah, what's
my hiccups are horrible.
I want to ask you this question too, Fahim.
Yeah.
Because I know that when you came to LA, when you were early, you were working at Boeing.
Yeah.
And you were an engineer.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, I would drive up to the Comedy Store and try to do the open mic, and then Tommy would play all these mind games, you know?
Like, right.
Because there would be this list, and he would make you wait in the back forever. And then there would be times where I'm waiting until 2 a.m.
Oh, yeah.
And then he would go in the back and get high or whatever, or just like give the list to somebody else, and then it would always change between what he wrote to other people putting their people in.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't go up. And then I finally had to tell him, I go, like, Tommy, I understand there's a system here, and I'm all for it, and I want to be a part of it, and I'll play the game and all that. But I mean, I'm an engineer. Like, I have work tomorrow at like 8 a.m.
But as an engineer, how much did you get paid a year, do you think?
Like 62, 63, entry level.
$1,000.
Yeah.
What would you do there at Boeing? Like, give me an example of a day.
A day. All right, I come in.
No, I'm interested because
the day to day,
because you're not. I don't know what it's like being an engineer. I don't know what it's like being
9 to 5
working for Boeing. I want to know what you would do. So,
all right,
you would drive up to the Boeing Institute.
Drive up, park in garage,
in Long Beach,
get
right?
out in Long Beach.
I know exactly where that is.
Okay. It's like on Carson and Lakewood.
Yeah, I would have to drive past it there. Go to
I still have my pass.
You do?
Yeah, I think I'm supposed to turn it in, but I like having it. It's my glove box. I just have so much hope and optimism. It's like,
so you drive there, you go through a little gate thing.
Yeah, so I park in the parking structure. I get out.
Yeah.
And then...
Now, let me ask you this. Do you get coffee?
So here's the thing. So...
One other thing.
Yeah, I'll go to the cafeteria. I'll get maybe some breakfast stuff. You could do that sometimes. They have a cafeteria.
You could do that every time, unless you're late.
Yeah, I still would push it, though. Like, here's the thing. I'd be, like, 5 minutes late, and I'd come with eggs and like, a coffee or whatever, and you're 5 minutes late, and then... That's what I hated about engineering, is that they're just stuck in the 50s. I have friends who are at Google and shit, and they're riding Razor scooters and jumping into ball pits, and they're like, take 2 hours of you time, and you meditate, and do whatever you want. You know, like, outside the box thinking, and it's very hippy-dippy.
Yeah.
And then in engineering, it's like, be in your seat at 8 o'clock, clock out at such and such, 42-minute lunch. We had a 42-minute lunch.
What?
Yeah. It's just so by the book and by the numbers that it's annoying. It's not about the work you do.
Yeah.
It's appearances.
So you sit there, and are there graphs in front of you?
So I sit in my chair. I have two monitors.
High charts.
Yeah.
I have two monitors.
So you have monitors. And what's on the monitors?
One is surfing the web. This is every cubicle job, all right? One monitor is for surfing the web. The other one is for actual work. And then everyone knows hotkeys, that when you hear footsteps behind you, you're like, and then it's like the boss.
Wow. So you're Googling when...
You're just like fucking around.
Portishead is going to be playing.
Sure, yeah.
I love Portishead.
Everyone,
I do. That's what I'm saying. I said Portishead.
Everyone has a fuck off monitor, and then everyone has a work monitor.
What's on
and
the?
And you know how to do.
What's on the work monitor? A graph or numbers?
No, what's on it?
Yeah,
you nailed it. It's just a graph.
No, it's like.
I mean, I'll do the abridged version of what. So, I mean, there's proprietary Boeing software.
That's exactly
stuff.
What I want to hear.
Yeah. Okay. So basically, my job. I worked on the 747-8. Freighter.
Love it.
And passenger.
Yeah.
Get it.
And this is funny. Whenever I'm in an Uber and somebody says, what do you do? I say engineer, and the conversation stops. So I like that you're at, I never say comedian, because they're like, golly.
Yeah.
Where do you get up? Where do you get your ideas?
Yeah.
Well, what type of comedy
or
do you
when
do?
They go into jokes themselves is the
well,
worst.
Yeah, I have a cousin who's trying, and then it just never ends. Yeah. But if I go, I do engineering, it's just.
Nice.
So 747-8 and freighter and passenger. The way it would work, I worked in the stress analysis.
Yeah.
For floor beams. So we worked on the floor beams. And for the way it works is the loads would be passed through. You would have a model of, say, because you're just updating the previous model, right? It's
right.
Like they don't remake the Corolla. They don't reinvent it every fucking time. They just kind of improve on last year's Corolla.
Right.
So we were just working on. You start on the last iteration of the 747,
yeah,
which is the 400, I think, and then you run. You want it to do different things, like you want it to carry more payload. You want it to be a little longer to put more seats on it,
right?
So they just run the new loads, or what kind of loads a plane would get with the new geometry, and then
wow.
You kind of see where it would fail. You go, okay, this would pass in the old model,
yeah,
but because the geometry is a little different. Okay, we need to beef up this section of the plane.
Oh, wow.
Or we need stronger fasteners here. Mm-hmm. And then you have design team who's over there, and you go, we need these type of fasteners, or we need to make this a little thicker. And they're like, fuck, we can't do that, because they have their own boss and stuff, and they go, we can't make it this much thicker. So you have to compromise with them. So sometimes engineering dictates design.
So just, you're just building.
And sometimes
it's Legos. You're building a plane.
Basically, I should have said Legos. I don't know why. I don't know why I did this.
That's what it
is. Long-winded. Yeah.
I mean, I feel like, you know.
But the thing is, it sounds very complicated what I'm telling you.
No, what but he's saying I can't do, but I can be the guy going, "Do you have these fasteners?" I'm like, "We can't. No, can do, friend."
You're just on the factory
floor. It's too thick.
You're the guy. In the,
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's just, you could get a high school kid to do this stuff, though. Like, that's the thing is, I was smarter in college than I was. I think it's true of everybody. You're smarter in college than you are when you go into the industry. You just get dumb because you work at a job and it's very cookie cutter, procedural. You just become a monkey and you do what you're supposed to do for that job. When you're in college, you're kind of a jack of all trades. You know how to do everything.
Could you have been happy with that life?
No, it was always a means to an end,
too. I know, but I'm just saying, let's say stand-up didn't exist.
Uh-huh.
Right, and that's, could you have grown at Boeing and become like the president?
That's the thing. You can if you're passionate about this stuff. I was just doing it so I could do the mic later at the comedy store, right, or just support myself so I could be out here
in
LA.
You did it for your dad.
I did it for my dad. Well, they were going to pay for college, and that was the lowest degree I can get, and still have them pay for it.
Yeah.
So I was like, and I wanted to be out in 4 years just so I can move out here.
But my real question is to you is this, okay? And this is what I want to know. Is you came to LA, you know, bright-eyed, you know, optimism. You're an engineer, you got a Boeing, but you had conservative values.
Yeah.
You did.
Yeah, sure.
Right? You were a virgin.
Uh-huh. Whoa. Right,
got what?
Howard Stern over
here. Not Howard Stern.
What speaker do I sit on?
Is that what I'm doing or no?
No, sure.
You don't like it when I'm talking? Should I cut it out?
Yeah, you can do whatever.
I am going to do whatever I want to.
Yeah.
Right. How is that an embarrassing thing that you were a virgin?
What?
You were.
How is he saying it's embarrassing?
I know, but yeah, I look at his little beady eyes.
He just called it Korean Stern.
Yeah.
We're just more reserved than the average.
Yeah. So you were a virgin. Uh-huh. Right. You had, your parents are Muslim.
Yeah.
So you were a Muslim yourself.
Yeah.
And you had those ideals and the values.
I mean, I still consider myself like I
know,
yeah.
But you're a little wild.
I don't know about wild.
You are.
What do you mean I'm wild?
You're not. You don't behave in that manner anymore.
Look, I don't pray five times a day. Or
no,
like,
but you oink oink chuk 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 chuk. You chuk chuk.
Oink oink too. With the
you oink oink and chuk chuk.
Yeah. What's that?
You fuck.
Whoa.
Yeah, right? You have.
No, we don't know.
Yeah, you don't know. Oh, your parents. Yeah. Your parents still think you're a virgin?
I don't know.
Your parents still think you're a virgin? How old are you?
Probably not.
How old are you, Fahim?
34.
They don't.
I know they don't.
You're in Hollywood. Oh my god, I love that we're here because you're uncomfortable.
Yeah,
and we're gonna do this because
where's the birthday cake?
No, I'll tell you why we're gonna do this because I'll tell you why I want to do this. I know it's a little uncomfortable. I know you feel a little uncomfortable, but I do love you.
Thank you.
And I would never say anything that's gonna make you feel shameful.
Okay. I feel like you're well on your way.
I'm not
getting there.
I'm not getting there, because my questions are going to be directed in a different direction now.
It's just practice. Just practice deflection.
I see.
Yeah, like, just practice.
Kellyanne Conway, do your best job.
Yeah.
Just answer. Answer however.
You've done some drugs.
I mean, I guess.
What
you've? What have I done?
Alcohol.
Yeah.
Marijuana.
I did that like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah. For the first time? No, really?
Yeah.
Wait, you got high for the first time
I'm 34, can you believe?
What happened? How did that happen?
I don't know. I just, it was a part of my identity for so long. And then they were doing it, you know?
Where, who?
My friend was doing it.
No, he's a comedian?
Yeah.
Tell me the friend.
Lenoci was doing it.
Michael Lenoci,
Zach.
Michael Lenoci and Zach.
Yeah.
Right, who are my friends as well.
Right.
We're smoking some Mary J.
Sure.
Mary J.
They're Mary J-ing it, right? And you had never smoked pot before in your life.
Yeah.
3 weeks ago. That's unfucking believable, by the way.
It was a month ago.
Pretty impressive.
A month ago. And then, hey, let me take a toke of that reefer.
That's exactly what he said.
No, what did you say?
Because normally I always say no whenever they do it.
Yeah.
But then for some reason, I was just like, what is it? You know? Let me,
Yeah. What is it?
And here's the thing. There's a stigma. It's tough being a brown person. Like,
yeah.
Because I'm American, and I mean, that's kind of what Goatface is about, just being born here, but walking that line of, you still have this baggage, and you still have these cultural ties. So I know that world, but I grew up on SNL, I grew up on Conan, I grew up on Simpsons, so I have very American sensibilities.
Fuck you! You're a fucking an American citizen.
Yeah,
and you're a free person.
I'm a free person. Yeah.
All right, and so fuck you.
Let him finish his.
Yeah, go ahead. No. Sorry, my bad.
I mean, you're the angry. Other. You're the other. I'm somewhere between you and like a hard-lined. It's tough. I'm somewhere between Bobby and like a traditionalist.
Okay.
Like, whereas you are just you. And there's something lovable about that, and unapologetically you, and you can make mistakes.
Free.
You're free.
I'm free.
You're free.
Thank you.
Yeah. So it's just, it's very hard to even like talk about her, you know. It's nothing compared to what normal people do, but there is this brown umbrella that's hard to get under, right. You know. So yeah, I tried marijuana.
So you, did you get high?
Yeah. So I did it, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I cough, you know. And yeah, I go, yeah. Do you always cough? I go, does that always happen? Is it just? I feel like a cliche.
Right.
Like if they were filming, they'd be like, "Let's do it more real this time."
Right.
It's a bit much.
Yeah. Oh, you're doing it. Yeah.
That's what happens.
Does that always happen?
Yeah. If you
always?
Don't smoke, you condition your lungs. Yeah. So
if it makes you feel any better, my mom tried. For the first time, and she's 60.
Yeah.
And she's always been really, you know, walked a very straight line.
Did she like it?
She said she didn't get high, but I don't think my mom knows what high is. She's such a controlling person. She's one of those people that if she ever did ayahuasca, she'd be like, I feel nothing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
She's just so in control of, like, her senses, and she has OCD.
Yeah.
So I don't think that she can let go and experience.
I'm the same way. Like, I think I'm too analytical for drugs. Like, I did it. I think I got high. I don't think it's for me.
Yeah. Oh, wait. So let me tell you. So you did it. You coughed.
Yeah.
And then what did you feel?
Then some time passed. And then I kind of felt it taking effect.
What was it?
For me?
Yeah.
Okay, so I think there's two things that happen. There's when you're a very analytical person, I'll start swimming inside my mind,
yeah,
and trying to figure out everything,
yeah, yeah,
trying to make sense of everything,
yeah,
and I can get lost in that. I can like spiral into that world, and just and it's kind of like a little paranoia, like stuff like that. But then also, I found myself having very, very silly thoughts. So I could jump out of that. There were kind of like two rooms I could bounce between. One is the analytical, try to make sense of everything.
Yeah.
And one is just let yourself be so dumb. It's okay to be silly and just enjoy it. Mm-hmm. So I would kind of walk between these two rooms. Some of the thoughts were very interesting. Like we were watching, I'll tell you two thoughts I had while I was on it. So we were watching like ESPN. There was highlights going on and there was a guy... And he was like number 11, you know.
Yeah.
And I go, you know, you chose that number because of September 11. Like that's why. Like it's the dumbest.
Yeah.
Like I would never say that. I would never say that as me.
Yeah.
Like it's not even. You say things that don't warrant leaving your mouth.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah. Marijuana, if you just let yourself.
Yeah.
And like I think we were at a diner one time and the song was playing. It goes, taking care of it. We're just eating. No one's really listening.
Yeah,
you know, it goes,
yeah.
Taking care of it. It's going on.
Yeah.
And then I go, you think they're done taking care of business?
Yeah, yeah. Little things like
that. And then I do this on stage, this thought I had. I was like, you guys ever notice, I go, like September 11th, you know, like the Twin Towers kind of looks like an 11.
Yeah.
Is that why they chose that day, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
That's the exact stoner thought.
Yeah, and I go, was it, did they plan it for September 10th? And like Abdul in the back was like, what if?
Yeah.
We waited there.
Yeah.
You know, the tower is kind of low, like, it's kind of like an Easter egg. You know, like.
It's an Easter egg.
You know, people, not everyone will know this. But yeah, for the people who do, it'll be kind of cool.
Yeah.
Just, I don't think anyone's ever thought that the towers look like an 11.
They do look like an 11.
It is an 11.
It is an 11. Yep. That's very interesting.
One time when I was younger, I bought weed from a guy from Caltech. And I went to my Korean friend's house and I watched the end of the affair dubbed in Korean for 2 hours. I was transfixed. I understood every single scene from beginning to end. And as soon as it was done, I shit myself. And I think that the reason I shit myself is I was certain it was laced with something. Like, it was laced with something. Because you don't shit yourself when you smoke weed. Yeah. But I remember, like, just drooling in front of, like, a TV. I wasn't feeling well. And my friend, I looked over at my friend. But it was End of the Affair with Julianne Moore, dubbed in Korean.
Wow.
I remember it from beginning to end.
Wow.
Maybe it wasn't weed then.
It probably was.
Probably was not.
You know, it's like, maybe it was my Miralax dealer.
You know, 16 years sober, I don't miss it. I don't miss the suffering of being, you know, enslaved by drugs and alcohol. But you do miss little moments, like when you drop shrooms at one time. Uh-huh. I wish I was there with you.
Yeah.
I was.
Wow, it's even deeper.
Yeah, I wish I was.
Now I'm admitting the truth. I did shrooms once.
I know.
Yeah, this was before weed.
And
your
parents aren't going to listen to this.
They probably... My mom, she's a big fan. My mom...
of Tiger Belly?
Just me. Anything I do, she'll track it down and find it.
Oh, can I just say this to your... Mrs. Anwar?
Yeah, Soraya.
Soraya Anwar. Oh. Your son is... he's a professional comedian. He's an American. And to becoming an artist, you know, you have to open yourself up and try new things. And that's what he's doing. And there's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah. These are just two outliers, honestly. Mm-hmm. Like, I've only done weed once and I only did shroom once. And I was in my 30s for both of them.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And part of the reasons I did shrooms is just because, you know, I talked to Ari. He's like, Ari Shaffir is like a big shroom guy.
Yeah.
And we'd be talking at the store and he goes, you know, it would blow his mind that I had never done marijuana. He's like, you should do shrooms before weed. I don't think anyone's ever done that. Right. Like, he just wanted to do it as like a pioneer or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And there was a novelty to that. And yeah. Part of me is like, oh, that's interesting. Yeah, I guess. And then somehow it came up. I didn't have anything going on and they were going to do it at Benji's grandma's beach house in Malibu.
Yeah.
So it's like a nice place. It's by the water. It's safe. It's like everything aligned.
Yeah.
And I fought it too. But somehow he just kind of wore me down. And then I was curious, and I just wanted to jump. You know, so much of being a stand-up, like when I left Boeing and was being more, or even just leaving my house, like upon graduating college, because I lived at home the whole time, pretty sheltered. All I knew is my parents' house.
Yeah.
And it's just being open to new experiences and not just being Miley Cyrus for a year or two, you know? Like, just not being so closed off.
Mm-hmm.
And I think being an artist kind of affords you that open mind instead of just being a drone and going in and out and not.
I just want your dad to be proud of you.
Yeah, you and me both. I did the shrooms
one
just
time.
To kind of see what it was, and that was too much for me, man. Like there was a first half and a second half. First half was very bad.
Yeah, I know. I heard you disappeared. Were you the one? No,
Matt Edgar disappeared.
Matt
Edgar
hours.
Disappeared. It was
six
like a
hours.
Sitcom. Like on the you're coming too, you know.
Yeah.
And then everyone's just on the couch, just kind of like.
So Matt, like, they drop shrooms, right? Ari is
there.
Benji is there. You, and Matt Edgar is a skinny white kid from Orange County, and they drop shrooms, and he just disappeared.
Yeah, we don't see Matt
for 6 hours.
Yeah.
He's just, they don't know where, and you don't even care.
Uh-huh. He seems like a shrooms pro, though.
Yeah, probably.
Did you even care where he was or no?
I think we were too wrapped up in our, I mean, I was at least, yeah. Like, I didn't have my wits to be like, 911.
Yeah.
My friend. Yeah. He was here, now he's not here.
Yeah.
What am I holding?
So what was the first half like?
First half is bad, because I just think too much, man. And that's not good. For drugs, I don't think it's good if you think
a lot.
That's
exactly why I steer clear, too. I just have too
much. Or you just can't let yourself go.
Yeah, like, exactly.
I'm too controlling, and I want to make sense of everything.
Yeah.
And when you're on that shit, it's just sort of like, I'm trying to figure out life, the universe, God stuff. It's like,
wow.
We're human, though. It's like dividing by zero.
Yeah.
And it's just... It's scary. Like, because I don't have the answers, and I want them.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm trying to figure it out, thinking I can.
Wow.
I'm a calculator with no CPU, and I'm just kind of like going down this deeper and deeper spiral. And then, like, Benji's on the couch, and he could sense. He would try to draw me out of it. You know, he'd be like, "What's up, man?"
Yeah.
We're just on the couch. This is like an anti-drug PSA, you know? Like, yeah, so yeah. He's just on the couch, and then like I'm on a chair, and I see Benji look over. He's like, "How you doing, man?" I'm like, "I don't know. Just, I feel weird."
Yeah.
And he's like, "You're supposed to." you're on drugs.
Yeah,
like that would be like a montage. Like, "You're on drugs. You're on drugs. You're on drugs. You're supposed to.
Yeah,
you're on drugs."
Yeah, yeah.
And then like Ari Shaffir was laying on the sofa.
Yeah,
and he saw the whole thing going down, and he's like, "Let him be. Let him go down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He needs to." Like he did it like Benji interfering.
Yeah, enable.
Yeah, yeah, Ari just you. Like what's good or bad, what's supposed to happen is supposed to happen, and he's just like, "Let him go down.
Wow.
Let him do his thing."
So when did it shift?
The second half. The second half of it is when things started becoming so funny. Like, I've never laughed this hard in my life. Just yeah. Silly, man. Everything was so funny, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
Like just giggles, man. Like, everything was the funniest thing in the world. Like, I just can't get these words out, you know? I'm like, you guys know how you're supposed to drink, like, 8 glasses of water a day? Yeah. And I'm like, I barely drink any water. Go I'll go like a whole day, like maybe I have like a cup of water or like half a glass, like I drink no water.
It's funny now.
It's so bad, like I don't drink any, you know?
Yeah,
like 8 glasses, like who could drink that much liquid?
Yeah.
And then there was another, like, just everything. I'm not a very visual person, or like when I paintings don't really do anything to me. I go to a museum and I'm like, that's interesting. Like, yeah. I don't understand these people who just like look at a painting for like a half hour with their wife, and they're like, "Oh, look at the."
Yeah,
it's like, okay, that looks like a thing.
Yeah,
and I'm done with it. But for some reason on shrooms, like they would, I couldn't stop looking at paintings.
Wow,
like the colors would pulsate and stuff, and I just started noticing a lot of things that I never would sober.
Yeah.
And then Ari and I, like, there's this one painting hanging up in his grandma's house where this guy has like a trench coat, and maybe it's a famous painting or something.
Was there a dog in it?
I don't know. I don't think so. But it was like a guy had like a trench coat and some things, and it looked, and we're just analyzing it. Me and Ari Shaffir are just like analyzing it on shrooms, and we're just kind of like riffing on this painting. And it, for some reason, we came up with like, "Oh, it looks like a knife salesman." You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And I go, "That's like a terrible way to be a knife salesman, just having it in a trench coat." And it's like, I wonder why I'm not getting any business. Like, "Hey, can I interest you in any knives?" Just like in a dark alley with a trench coat. Like, "Hey, lady, I'm trying to sell some knives." Look at all the knives we have here. Like, hiding them in a trench coat.
You were saying that in front of our...
And we were just dying. We were on the ground. And then he was doing it. Yeah. And I was laughing so hard.
And then when did Matt Edgar show up?
Hold on, there's one more thing I have to talk about. So like... Yeah, did you start noticing things that you just accept as part of life?
Yeah.
When you're not on it, like just decorative stuff she had in her apartment. She had this like vase with these bamboo things sticking out of it. And then I just walk up to her. I go like, "Wait, what is this?" I go like, why is this a thing?"
Yeah.
I go like, somebody's like, "Oh yeah, I need a vase with some bamboo things." Yeah. Like, this is so arbitrary.
Yeah.
Like, we all accept it as this decorative piece.
Yeah.
But to me, I just saw it for the absurdity it was of like, there's a vase with bamboo shoots in it.
Yeah.
It's just so funny.
Yeah. You laughed at that?
Yeah. We're just like crying. And yeah, but the first half was too much. I don't know. So that's why I'm like scared to do it again for that first half.
Then Matt Edgar.
And then at the very end, we're all kind of like coming out of it. And then Matt Edgar comes through the front door, and we're like, "Matt!" Like, it was like a sitcom. Like, that's what you would say, executive producer, George Sapir.
Yeah.
Like, bow, bow, bow,
bow, bow. How was Matt's mood?
Good. Everyone was fine.
Yeah, yeah.
I just kind of, yeah.
Wow.
And I wasn't like, and the thing is, I'm not outwardly like, I just go in and quiet because I didn't want to ruin anybody else's, you know, it's like my bullshit or it's my, I didn't want to ruin what they were trying to do. Or their trip. Like, they have their own thing going on. So I would just, like, get very quiet and kind of... I didn't want to be like, "Guys, you know?"
if I just thought if I was diagnosed with a disease where I was dying, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. that is one thing that I would want to do again. Do you think that would be okay or no?
To do drugs? Mushrooms or
shrooms? Yeah, like yeah. if I had like some sort of cancer and it was I'm gonna die. I would probably call Ari and a bunch of guys and go, listen, I have so-and-so amount of sobriety, but I'm dying. I want to go out to the desert and I want to take some shrooms.
I think that shrooms can be a really like positive, you know, kind of time. You can have a lot of revelations. You can have like a silly moments, I think, but a lot of like revelations too, and a lot of closure maybe, and a lot of like peace if you're somebody who's terminally ill. I guess it could go both ways. You could be come out of it like terrified of the fact that you're dying, or come out of it like feeling peaceful about it.
Yeah, it depends. But one thing I did, I noticed like weed was kind of a lesser version of shrooms for me. Like I wasn't free falling. I could pull myself out of that on weed or whatever.
Yeah. The only thing about smoking weed for me is there's certain strains that really throw me into anxiety and panic. And that's what I have a hard time getting myself out of. And I used to smoke weed a lot. But when I would get thrown into a panic, I would just, the only way out of it was to like double down on alcohol, which is like a bad system that I had altogether. But the last time I did it, I had a really bad panic attack that I called 911 on myself.
Oh my God.
And I was in the hospital just really fucking high. And I was so embarrassed. I was like, okay, I can't do this. I ate a massive, I should have done it. Instead of waiting to get high before going to bed, I ate a massive cookie. Because I've done edibles before, but this one was particularly strong. I didn't think twice about it. And then I went straight to bed. And I woke up and I couldn't breathe. And I was just so confused. And I was living alone at the time. And no one was there to help me. So I was just freaked the fuck out. I didn't know my own surroundings. It was just a really weird a thing, and it just went down a hole there. So I called.
I'm sure they love that.
You don't do drugs.
I used to do a lot of weed.
Oh, you know, not anymore.
Socially,
sometimes
if people are doing it, I'll do it like a one hit. But I don't like. I like being in control. I don't
same
like
here.
Not,
so I like being in control. I'm glad I did those two just to experience.
You'll do
it
again. You'll do weed again.
I don't know. I don't love it. Like I just don't love it. You know, like it's not. I'm not like, oh, I can't wait to do that again. Yeah. It was fun to experience.
Wow. I don't know. I'm very much like you.
You guys are weird.
I don't desire. I don't think about it.
I just want to escape reality.
Really?
You know?
And I don't like losing control. That's my problem.
Me too. I think that's part of why I'm anxious too, is because when I lift, if anything is like psychoactive and I deviate from my baseline, I freak out. Because I think that already my baseline, I kind of, sometimes I think I see things that aren't there, or sometimes I get this like surge of adrenaline. So if I'm not, you know what I mean? I'm somebody who could really go over the edge.
Uh-huh.
Like I feel like I would stab my own heart if I dropped acid. I'd be one of those. I'd take an ice pick to my heart.
Jesus.
And I'd have
what
that
a great
fear.
Podcast. Wow. I mean, come on, babe.
Stop talking about stabbing your heart,
stabbing
man.
Your heart.
Jeez.
No, because it's like a snowball. It's like a catch.
You're like an anti-drug PSA. Like a wet dream. Like if you did that, they'd be like, yes.
You'd pull an Elliot Smith.
I would be one of those people that would go into taking acid, going in saying, don't stab your heart with an ice pick. Don't stab your heart. And then end up stabbing my heart with an ice pick because I'm so fixated on that thought of not doing it. That's where my head goes there too often into like dark spaces. So I'm not good with it.
Wow. What did we learn today?
So much.
Here's what I did learn about you, man. What I learned about you today is that I think you're going to become a very big star. I really do. I'm getting emotional a little bit. And I really like you.
Thanks, Bobby.
I really do. And what are we doing at time?
We're over an hour.
Are you wrapping up?
Yeah, because I want to do because I have to get up at 6 in the morning. Mm. Oh, just FYI, you know, on the sitcom I'm on, they give me 5 lines an episode. But for some reason, they like somebody said something to somebody, which I didn't say anything. And then they're like, just give every single line in this whole episode to him. That's this week. I'm like, in every scene, it's the whole thing is, oh, God, I hate it.
When does that episode come out?
Probably in December.
Okay. Just making sure everyone has to.
And we might get canceled.
I don't see that.
By tomorrow, but then they but they also, they might give us five, maybe. Mm. I don't know. But if, you know what, guys? If they do cancel it, I just want you, I know Tiger Belly fans, thanks for trying. Papa will get something else. And if not, I'll just do The Road. And if not, I'll just be me. I'll be Dude, alive.
But you know what's great? There's power in like doing this and stand up. And you'll always have, everything else is icing.
That's
you
what
know?
Rogan says every dude, fucking for time.
Dude, my eyes are open now, dude. Like, I've started my own podcast and stuff, and I realize at the end of the day, I have the podcast, I have stand up, and that'll never change. Everything mm. else is just sort of bonus points.
Bonus points, yeah.
And you have no control over that other on those other things. Like, sure, mm. if they like you, they like you, but it's great to be in control of your own destiny. You don't have to audition to be Bobby, you know?
Yeah, yeah. This, no, this has given me a platform, but it's also, can I say something? It's that's not easy. I mean, how many episodes have we done?
166.
This is 166. Right. I mean, that's 166 hours of sure. me talking, us talking. About what?
Yeah, but it's not you prepping and like learning all these lines and think about all the hours you've put into things that haven't panned out. Not to say it was a complete waste of time mm-hmm. because you are who you are and you've gotten the things that you have gotten because
yeah, yeah.
of
yeah, yeah.
the same method.
I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this isn't wasted effort. Mm. You have the gig every time you do it.
Yeah, this is something that we did too. And well, this is ours.
For sure. And it's inspired me, you know? Yeah, like yeah. seeing. Like,
how come you haven't, you have guests on your show?
I've had Aristotle on. I will. I want to have you on eventually. I've just gotten started.
That would be nice.
Yeah, but. yeah, I would love to have to you on if you would want, if you'd want to do it. I think you're too big time.
You really think that? Honestly, you think that I'm yeah, too man. Big time to do your podcast?
Well, I'm only 7 episodes in, so.
Who have I done? I've done Candace Thompson's podcast. Uh-huh.
She has a great podcast.
Yeah, but I've done it, right?
Yeah. yeah.
I've done, what's that one old, that guy that with the bad foot?
Don't say his
no,
name.
No, what's his name,
sweetie.
Though?
He is.
No, he's a good guy.
The one with narcolepsy?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I did his podcast.
Oh, Carl.
Okay. Carl.
Okay.
He has 11 viewers.
Don't say that.
11,000, I meant.
Carl's a yes. great guy.
11,000 million.
11,000.
Sometimes someone will have so few listeners on a podcast. Like maybe they have like 4 and you could be like, if they ask you to do it, say, you just want to do a conference call?
yeah, yeah.
Do like a Google Hangout or yeah, something. Yeah, yeah. This might be easier.
No, I've done anyone that asks, I've done it.
This is true.
Cool.
Because especially if they ask him directly, because he has, I don't think he's ever said no in his life.
Yeah. And also, no, it's not even that. But no, because there are gigs that they promote that I don't show up to. And everyone knows that.
Uh-huh.
But with podcasts, I always show up because even if it's 10 people, I can get 5 of them
yeah.
to listen to Tiger Belly. Hmm. All right? I do my fucking part. Mm-hmm. Gilbert, what's any unhelpful advice questions?
Unhelpful advice with Bobby, Kalila, and Fahim Anwar.
Hi, gang. I'd like to ask you how you deal with moderate levels of success. My current level of income is on the upper end of 6 figures
Fuck
and
yeah.
projected to increase to 7 by the end of the year.
Yeah.
I am 18, and I work in the ag industry. Agriculture. I feel as if I have peaked and I barely graduated high school. Emotionally, I'm empty and my friends refuse to accept any business ventures that I offer them because they don't want any higher degrees of responsibility. Any other people that want to be my friends are white, but don't have an understanding of the physical and mental aspects of hard work. The short of it is, how would you deal with the sense of loneliness that is accompanied with monetary success? P.S. I'm playing with the idea of opening a comedy club in Paso Robles, California. Would Bobby be interested in performing?
I would do it 100%. Me and Fahim will do it.
Yeah.
His name is D.
D will do it. And can I say this? You're 18.
Yeah. That's great. These and are great problems to have.
You're oh my God, you fucking idiot.
6 Jesus.
Well, he's you're not an
ahead
idiot.
You're not an idiot. You're ahead of the, you know what it is though? No matter how much success one gets, we find ways to be like, to get back in that place
unhappy.
Of negativity
yeah,
and unhappiness.
Yeah,
yeah. Mm. I find that too. Like today, I was just like kind of brooding around set because I found out we may not get picked up and this and that. When, you know, I got 2 years of a show I didn't even audition for.
Yeah.
That was just handed to me.
Yeah.
Right? And I can just fucking be a little bitch about it.
That's the thing about Hollywood. It's so, like, you know, D'Elia and Brent and our friends, and they're on Undateable for 3 seasons.
Yeah.
And then it doesn't, you know, it ends.
Yeah.
And you have to, it's just the thing to do in Hollywood where you go, hey, sorry about your show. You go, why the fuck am I? But when you do inventory, you go,
yeah,
this guy got to make this much money for pretending to be someone else
right.
for 3 years.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not sorry.
Yeah.
I said that to
but
him.
But we do that all the time. Sorry. Everything comes to an end. But like 3 years of something is great. 2 years of something is awesome.
I kind of think that is a fear, though. Of like even someone like Bobby, he's comfortable, so he lives a very indulgent, sort of lazy life where he doesn't sometimes want to get up and write and do things that he knows he needs to do because he is comfortable.
Mm-hmm. I have chocolate on my fingers.
It's like yeah, where's his comfort now? Look at that.
I'm gonna get a different donut. This is too chocolatey.
That was perfect timing.
Oh, or like people who like win the lottery and like off themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's not this case. In this case, this guy, right, he's in agriculture. He just mentioned he worked hard. This guy woke up early in the mornings and grinded it out.
Yeah.
Right? He plowed. He used his hands, right? Mm-hmm. And he made this money, okay?
Yeah.
He did. It's not. It wasn't a fluke.
Right.
Right? His hard work gained, you know, this, you know,
I think he just needs more like-minded. More like-minded individuals, more entrepreneurial type people. Maybe the comedy club sounds like that's something exciting he wants to. If not that, then maybe something, you know, whatever strikes his interest. You know,
maybe
get the money to do it now.
Maybe you know, start pulling from a different pool of people outside of like your high school friends for you know he wants to get into business with his high school friends.
He's like the monkey who can talk, you know? Like, you ever see that Futurama episode where...
Open up the Comedy Club D, we'll all play it, and when I see you, don't bitch. We'll hug, we'll fucking spend a weekend together.
Ew.
We'll fuck around, all right? But let me say something right now. You're in a good place, keep working hard, make a lot of money, bury people. Go ahead.
Bury people, that's a good one.
Hey, Bobby and friends, I've noticed you guys have a few dogs at any given time, and I'm sure you're both busy with your jobs and schedules. With that being said, my wife and I have 4 animals, 2 dogs, and 2 lizards. I work in a copper mine for 12 to 13 hours a day, four days and nights a week, and my wife works retail full-time. We just found out we're having our first baby. My question is, how do you guys juggle work life and having so many animals to take care of? I just need some advice. I'm at a loss, and I don't really want to give up my animals at all. Thanks.
Well, don't give up your animals. Just don't get any more and abort the baby. I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding. This is a joke. It was a joke.
Yeah.
It was a total joke.
I got that.
It wasn't real.
I felt it.
Okay.
Comedy.
It's called comedy. Guys. All
right. Don't abort the baby.
Don't abort the baby.
It's past 12 weeks, definitely.
Yeah, though. Yeah. It's killing a human.
Not if it's before that.
When I'm with 2 lizards, you can...
I like lizards.
No, I mean the lizards.
2 green basilics.
Yeah, but you can, you know. Release them.
Don't release them. Give them some.
I know,
worms.
But I feel like it's like, you know, you have a lizard and you go, "Hi, Toby." The lizard just looks at you, right? You release it. A year later, you get another lizard and you go, "Hi, Toby." It's the same feeling.
That's a good point.
Right? Yeah. I don't think there's any. The thing is this.
It's not the same.
Yeah, let me just kind of listen to this point. It's like fishies.
Mm-hmm. It's not like fishies.
Yeah. It's like a fishy, like one of those little emo clown fishes. Oh, yeah, what are the Elmos? What are they called?
Nemo.
What are Elmo?
or Elmo.
What are they called?
Nemo.
Nemo the fish.
Yeah.
Right.
Fish, yeah.
Or Dora. Is that right?
Yeah.
Dory.
Blue, the blue skinny one.
Dory. Yeah.
Dora.
Or whatever, yeah.
Right. And Nemo. Right? If you had those fish and they looked at you, I don't think what they see, I think they just see this gigantic like, blobby circle. Maybe they see a little bit of energy or aura, but they don't go, "That's Bob."
You're wrong. More studies are finding that fish
fuck
are
it. Yeah. Those studies and are wrong. What? There's
and
no way.
I used to have a plecostomus named Mammy, and when Mammy died, I cried for 2 weeks. Also, I used to have a desert tarantula for two
so
years.
So what you're saying is
when my desert tarantula died, I cried for 2 weeks. When my two green basilisks died, because my stupid roommate put like Raid spray into it because she didn't like that we had lizards, I cried for 2 weeks.
Let me ask you something.
Yeah.
If you had, and be honest, and don't say anything, Kalila. Let me ask you something. Be real with me, okay? If you had a lizard, right?
Yeah.
And you felt it like, you fed it like pulp nuggets. I don't know what they eat.
Pulp, okay.
I don't know what they eat. Like bug nuggets.
Sure.
Bug right? Nuggets, yeah. And then one weekend you're like, Bob, I'm going on the road. Can you come over to my house and feed my fucking lizard bug nuggets? Right? And I did it. Do you think that the lizard would go, where's Fahim? Or do you think he's just like, oh shit, there's bug nuggets again?
Probably like the bug nuggets. Again. It's more about the bug nuggets than what's attached to the hand.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying is I think a dog is basically like, where the fuck's my master?
So you only want to love things that can...
That'd be great. Like, soldier comes home to lizard and the lizard's...
Yes!
Everyone's crying. It's like licking its eyeball over and over.
Fahim, you know, you're actually, you guys are wrong.
That's so funny.
Soldier comes home from Iraq. So
that's so funny.
I was in Long Beach once, and this man had a massive pet iguana, and he would carry it and hug it, and it would run into the sand, through the sand to its owner, only to its owner.
No.
But anyways, what you're saying is you can only love things that show human love back to you.
No, I love this little table.
Goldfish greets soldier,
but I can roll.
it's just swimming in one side of the bowl. And the bowl is moving. A misty little guy.
Yeah. That's a very good point. Very funny.
You're all bastards.
No. So, dude, get rid of the lizards, but the dogs, you know what I mean? That's my advice. So watch Fahim's sketch
it's
special.
It's a one-hour sketch comedy special called Goat Phase, November 27th. It's a Tuesday after Thanksgiving. It's a one-hour thing. I'm head writer on it. I'm in it. My buddies are in it. We used to do YouTube stuff. And then Hassan got Daily Show. We all got busy. We thought it was done. And then I'm so glad that we got to like come back together and do this again. Yeah, I do stand up and I do sketch. So I'm glad that I finally have this outlet. It's a dream come true. And I'm happy. Like there's two things that I wanted in my comedy career. Like I don't want to die, but if I do die, it's nice knowing that I have a one-hour special out there as a footprint. It's called There's No Business Like Show Business. It's on Amazon Prime right now. Mm-hmm. And then the sketch special. It's just nice to have a comedy footprint, and that's what I do. If people don't like it, then it's okay they don't like it. But that's kind of what it is, and there's no ambiguity anymore. You know?
I honestly believe...
They're going to love it. It's so
this
funny.
This thing is going to be a series. Mm-hmm. I think this is a tester for them. But it is so relevant. When I look at it, I go, yes, this is 2000, especially in the climate that we live in now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I love that we can address that, you know, but then I have very American sensibilities as well.
You are an American.
I am an American, you know.
You're not
and my
the other
comedy,
side.
You know, when I'm at the store the other night and you saw, it's like, I'm just talking about whatever.
Yeah, you're no Punjab.
That's like 90% of who I am as a comedian. So there's just regular comedy in there as well. It's not just all brown.
Yeah.
It's something,
we both
it's
were in the movie Annie, remember?
Huh?
We were both in the movie Annie, Art to People. I was chef, chauffeur, driver, and you were that other guy, the mystical guy. Anyway, Fahim.
Oh, can I promote my podcast too?
No.
Will you do it sometime too, please?
No.
What's it called, Fahim?
It's called the Fahim Anwar Dance Hour.
We're going to cut that out.
Oh, dance hour.
Oh, really? Dance Hour?
It's called Fahim Anwar Dance Hour.
That's funny.
On iTunes.
Yeah, it's on iTunes, Spotify.
Got it.
All that stuff.
Have you done? Are you going to do it with All Things Comedy or no?
I did the Lance one with them, but the Lance one I haven't done for a long time. I just kind of let it atrophy. Mm-hmm. I did that with them, but
you can do it on your own.
Probably do it on my own and keep your options open. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
interesting.
So just trying to build that up. And okay. Thanks for having me.
Well, you
on,
did it.
So. Thank you.
Thanks
plugged,
for being
you
here.
You plugged all the stuff.
Plugged the shit out of everything.
God, take care, friend.
Thanks, dude.
Enjoy life. Everyone listening, enjoy your life. Nosotros papaya. Science.
Mm.
Friendship.
Of course.
Community. Resolutions. Mm. Behemoth. Monstrosities. Mm. Creating nocturnal images. of darkness and light. Thanks for listening. Good night.
Thanks, everyone. Thank you to our sponsors. RidgeWallet. For 10% off your Slim Sleek Front Carry Wallet, go to RidgeWallet.com and use the code TigerBelly. To get your free stock from Robinhood, go to tiger.robinhood.com. And for 50% off your 23andMe kit, order at 23andMe.com/TigerBelly. And guys, if you haven't already bought your merch, buy your merch now. It's probably sold out, but if not, go check the website at thetigerbelly.com and go cop yourself some stuff. So make sure you check out all of Fahim's stuff, and you can follow Kalila on Instagram at
Calamity K.
George Kimmel at
George_Kimmel.
Bryce at
Bryce.
Fahim, what's your handles?
At Fahim Anwar.
Boom.
On everything.
And everything Bobby Live. You guys have a good night.